Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, come on!
What?
Come on,
what
man!
What did I do to deserve this?
No luck of the Irish for Michael Malone tonight.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge. Man, it's been a while since we've been here. It's a little uncomfortable.
I know, it's dirty. It's dark.
As bad as Denver was in this game, I was so certain they were winning.
I was positive. I bet it.
I was certain that they had the win on this one. Murray missed the shot at the very, very end to crush all of our hearts. We're going to break it all down for you, though. Lots of topics, actually. I think there's a lot of conversation out of this game. Should be interesting. I got the actual Irishman here, Brendan Vogt.
Cheers. Almost a real celebration at the bar. Real close, man. It's like, you know, they say basketball's a game of inches, life's a game of inches.
Doesn't it feel like today was off? Like, we were talking about the bar didn't have the energy you would expect for St. Paddy's Day. Like, something was off. Up was down.
It was like a Zeke Nagyston. It was almost there.
This was a Zeke Nagy game. It was almost there. For sure. D-line's in the house.
It's because it's a Sunday, man. Nobody knows how to act. They've got, you're joyous, you're celebrating. But you also have the scaries, dude. So, like, you don't know how to be. So, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. We're flushing it away. And then over there, of course, rounding out the show, Superstar Dev.
Well, be honest, fellas. Denver didn't deserve to win that one.
They did not.
It just didn't play like they wanted to win that one. And it sucked.
I hate to say it. But, you know, deserve got nothing to do with it. They could have still won. That's what would have made this one so great. When you beat a team when you clearly were bad, especially when you were up 11 with 5 minutes to go, it's like, oh, that's the best. Denver almost pulled off the ultimate, like, disheartening card if you're a Mav, but all nullified. Let's get into a quick breakdown real quick. I'll make it quick. Mavs hot start, 13-2 run. Nuggets had to come back. Remember the start of this game was like 10-2? The Nuggets made a 13-2 run. And first quarter was a Porter quarter. Certified Porter quarter. He even had a hammer dunk. You remember that was sexy. Jokic getting no calls. This was going to be a very physical game. He got a tech. Michael Malone got a tech. Didn't really make a difference. It was 34-30 Nuggets after one. But bench okay for a stint. But Luka got going. That guy was on fire to start the game. You guys remember that? Christian Brown had another step back three. Two games in a row now. He's going into his Harden bag. And the Nuggets retook the lead, and they go to the half 61-58. Third quarter. Nuggets were ice cold in that quarter, fellas. What happened? They had 18 points in the third quarter. And they had nothing but wide open looks. Could not get anything to fall. Jokic was off. And then Kyrie was percolating. And that third quarter, Kyrie was getting his game going. 15 offensive rebounds for the Dallas Mavericks. In that third quarter, in the last like 3 minutes, I think they got 10 of those. It was really, that was a turning point in my opinion. Mavs took the lead 84-79 going into the final frame. Continued to dominate the glass. Michael Malone called a timeout. He stuck with Zeke Nagy, I was surprised. I thought maybe he would just go small. Stuck with him. Yoke comes back in 8 minutes, down 9 points. MPJ had a transition three to cut it to four. Missed it. And there was a leak out dunk. I feel like that was another one of those plays where it was like, man, you get a wide open three on the break, miss it, long rebound, outlet pass for a dunk. And it's like, that's a 5 point swing that happened right there. Murray goes off glass, though. Murray's had a three to cut it to four again later, 3 minutes, 45 seconds left. Then Murray goes off the glass to cut it to one, 2 minutes left. Jokic ISOs Luka, ties it, 1 minute left. Murray, same exact action the next time down. They ran pick and roll, got it to Jok on the switch. He attacks Luka and scores. Next play, you come down and Murray just pulls up from three and drains it. It was a tough shot, and I was certain the Nuggets were going to win, but for some reason, the Nuggets were slacked off of Luka, man. You know Luka loves to take deep threes, especially in the clutch. That dude is clutch. Gave him all that space, and he just pulls up and drains it. I thought it was bad defense on Denver's part. And then you come down, 24.1 seconds left, so you could run the clock out. It is hard to time. I will give Murray that. It's hard to time exactly when the shot will go, but you err on the side of caution. You can't lose the game if the shot clock, through the shot clock violation. You can't lose it. Instead, he goes 2 seconds early, gets a great look. I can't even blame him because the shot was such a good look that you're like, he'll make that 99% of the time. Well, he missed it after being incredibly clutch. And Kyrie, this is what he does, man. Kyrie has such a weird game. Driving with his left hand to the middle of the basket, basically right where Murray missed, shoots a sweeping left-handed hook shot. And that's how they win it. A left-handed hook shot over Jokic from the foul line to win the game. Dev, big takeaway. Presented by Red Hawk Roofing, the homies who were in the house tonight and gave away tickets to watch the Nuggets play next week.
My big takeaway was Dallas is a weird team to go against. And just watching that, like, solidified that. Very unorthodox type of team with how Luka plays, how Kyrie plays, the extra pieces. I was actually surprised about how well they defended, but also how much they got away with in that game. And I think that that threw a wrench in the Nuggets' game plan. To win the game on the left-handed floater is a wild shot, but not for them, just how they played. I couldn't believe how in control they were on the rebounding. How they forced the Nuggets into, like, very wild shots. And that's just not a team that I want to see in the playoffs.
Really?
So just get out of that. I'm not saying I'm scared of them, but I just don't know. I don't like how there's just so much uncertainty around that team. This is a game that I feel like the Nuggets played very, very bad, but I think that a little bit of it was how they game planned for that game. So just a very weird team.
All right. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of meat on the bone there that you just threw us. What about your big takeaway?
I mean, the big takeaway is that you gotta have your best players play their best, or you're not gonna win. The Denver Nuggets just did not play a very good game. They almost this is the same thing against the Suns, where by all means they didn't play well enough to lose or to win, but they had enough in them to make it to get tied with 2 seconds left. They had the winning shot. They had nothing going for them, but they were in a position that they still should have won. And the shot just doesn't fall. But, I mean, the Denver Nuggets are so clutch. I just cannot believe that Murray missed that shot.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I know. This is, like, both proof of concept for what we know to be true. The Nuggets are just so, like, you have to be up by 12 to going into the clutch time to beat them. This is proof of concept, except for it wasn't. At the very, very end.
Damn it.
I was so ready to have some crazy takes, dude, too.
Man. I mean, come on, man. Like, I'm still counting as a win, to be honest.
Yeah, all right. What about you, Vogt?
Yeah, and even with that inevitable run, it's still a nice reminder, too, that, like, if Denver just takes care of these, they've done it for the better part of these last 12 games, to be very clear. But little things and playing maturely, responsibly, even knowing that run is going to come. The rebounding tonight is really what I'm talking about. That was something that was within Denver's control that just ran away from them for the better part of three quarters. And obviously, you know, they figured it out in the fourth. They always do. But that was just there's 100 things you could point to, including Jokic playing better, which he typically does, Jamal hitting that shot. But honestly, they probably win this game by 5 if they just rebound the ball a little better. And credit Dallas, who played like a desperate team tonight, played like a team that's in the play-in. But that want to, that desperation, that extra is what Denver didn't have. And I think it's ultimately why it's a loss today.
21 offensive rebounds for Dallas. That's the most Denver has allowed this year. They had allowed 19 one time. That was a win over Portland. They had allowed 18 one time. That was also a win. In fact, I think they were like 11-1 when allowing 15 or more rebounds, or 8-1, something like that, or 8-0 or 8-1. So it's not always damning. If a team gets a lot of offense rebounds, it usually means they missed a lot of shots. So there's something there. But tonight, just way too many second chance opportunities. And this is what they do. I think when people look at that, I saw some people saying put DeAndre in. Because Zeke, honestly, the thing that they do is they bring the big out into pick and roll. The reason you wouldn't go DeAndre in this game is DeAndre wouldn't be rebounding. He would be guarding Luka on the perimeter. And then you would be counting on the other guys to rebound. So I don't know that it was necessarily that, even though I thought Zeke had a couple of rebounds he should have grabbed in that stretch. That was frustrating. But, I mean, Yoke, too. There were big possessions where Yoke was on the court. But that's the nature of a team that plays five out the way that they do. And they have tenacious rebounders, man. Lively goes after everything. Gafford goes after everything. Derrick Jones. They have athletes that just go for the ball. And tonight they got Denver with it. I think my big takeaway would be the playoffs, because they become so zero-sum, you know, become so, like, you either win or don't, and it's short sample size. I hate matinees. I feel like Yoke is always bad at matinees. Is this, like, in my head? That's, like, my big takeaway, as I came into tonight's game thinking,
I kind of agree.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like Yoke needs to sleep.
But I feel like they had a matinee game not that long ago, and they did really well. And I don't, which one was that? Do you remember?
They only get, like, 3 a year, so it's not like we get a huge sample size.
I think we went to a matinee. Did we go to a matinee game?
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, it was a takeover.
Who was it? Orlando?
No. That was courtside.
Oh, yeah, that was courtside.
I don't know.
Might be.
Yeah, they went to a matinee.
Yeah, Utah.
So I don't know. That was just one of my thoughts is this was a very – I think if you're trying to read the matchup, and I want to go back to your big takeaway here, Denver shot 43% from three tonight, which is good. That's above average. Dallas only shot 26%, 25.7.
Yeah, so they shot better than Dallas.
Denver shot better than Dallas. So I think if you're a Dallas fan, you say, you know what? We had a lot of good looks in this game that we'll probably count on going down. And if you're a Denver fan, you just look at Yoke, 6 of 16 tonight, 16 points. We talk about this matchup being super favorable, and tonight he just couldn't get it done. Now, they were very extra physical. I do think Yoke is a little more irritable, like, that's the rap on Yoke. Try to piss him off because he can lose his temper. And I thought tonight he lost his temper a little bit, got out of his rhythm, and then started missing bunnies just a little bit. But I don't think that'll happen again. There's nothing that happened tonight that made me think, oh, Yoke, this is tough for Yoke. I just think he had an off night.
But I think that's where it becomes a positive for both teams, but Dallas got the win on top of it. Because, I mean, Denver's going to look at this game and say, Jamal and Jokic are not going to play that poorly. We're not going to allow them to rebound, you know, that poorly. And we're just going to play hard on them. And then on the other side of things, you're going to say, we have Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. So, like, we are good to go, and we're not allowing that to happen. The thing is that, like, there's momentum. There's also a team that now believes, and they shouldn't believe. But Denver gave them that opportunity because of how they played and how that they finished. So I don't like that part of it. I do not think that Dallas would beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series. I don't think that there's a team that can beat them in a 7-game series. But I do think that there's a team that believes that they can, and that's dangerous, you know, in the NBA.
Yeah. Dallas has a lot to think about, though. I feel like Dallas is almost, because their season has been so erratic.
But don't you think they look at that game and say, like, if you're Jason Kidd, you're like, I love where we are. They're not thinking of everything else. They're like, we just limited Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic because of how hard we played. The reason we played so well, you guys crashed every single rebound. Luka was incredible in that game, but he wasn't, like, perfect. Like, he wasn't really good. He was incredible.
He was pretty good.
He could say, I could play better than that.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that if you're Jason Kidd, it's easy to pitch them that says you beat the best team in the NBA because of these small things. I don't think you could say the same thing for Denver.
Yeah, it's possible. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Tonight was such a, like, just such an outlier to me. I don't know that there's much to take of it. Truly, the only thing I take from it is that the Nuggets are clutch, even though they missed the biggest shot, but they stepped up to the plate after being really impotent for so long, and then they were like, all right, fine, let's do it. And they did exactly what they do every single time.
Man.
It really looked like they were going to win, and then you just get, like, a very, very lucky shot, in my opinion, out of Kyrie Irving. We were saying that those are the kind of shots that Jokic hits, and it makes you crazy. So maybe it's not a whatever, but it took that insane circus shot and Jamal missing a very routine jump shot for them to pull this off. Like, I'm actually, like, more encouraged by this than I am discouraged. I mean, I don't really fear for the Mavs. Like,
I'm not worried about this matchup at all. Not even a little bit.
Nothing from tonight. Nothing tonight. What from tonight do you think tells a story?
Rebound, man. How many more shots did the Mavs get tonight? Today? A lot, right? I'm thinking double digits. They just got a rebound.
They got 16 more shots. You're right.
And then if you, on any given night, if the Nuggets lose a game and you put a proverbial gun to my head and say, what'll be different next time? I'm usually going with Jokic plays better. You know, like
you're right. It's the best way to lose a game is if Jokic plays poorly. You're like, well, that doesn't happen when it matters.
That's not to say I actually hate getting up here and saying it doesn't matter. If you care about the one seed, it matters. If you care about 58 wins, it matters. If you care about our 10-game win streak side quest, it matters. As far as what it tells me about the matchup, I'm not worried at all. Denver just, this is a weird game, and if they rebound, they win anyway. So there's all those teams in the play-in right now. They've got very talented best players, and they're just not that good as teams. And they'll be talked about as threats, but a team like the Nuggets should take care of business in the playoffs.
The one thing I'll say is that Luka and Kyrie are such incredible shot makers that you don't want to get, like, there's clutch as in the last 5 minutes. Denver out-clutched the Mavs tonight in the last 5 minutes. But I think Dallas is as good as anyone, and there's a lot of good teams at this, but Dallas is as good as anyone in the last 10 seconds. Like, okay, it's tied and you need now to out-clutch in 10 seconds. That can be a little tricky. So tip your hat to them. Good win. Good shot by them. Nuggets hopefully refocus because this next one's even more important against Minnesota. So maybe this is one that chaps your ass a little bit.
I'm a little chapped.
You know, I'm a little chapped. Hopefully they are as well. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we'll continue to break down these players, what happened, including Jokic. What did we look like? We still have more to pull on Jokic's game tonight.
Breckenridge Brewery. You know we love our Breck beers at DNVR. They're the official craft beer of DNVR. They've got a beer for any occasion. Avalanche Amber Ale for the Avs Knights, the Mile High City Cup, Alaga when the Nuggets play, the Broncos Country Pale Ale for football season, plus any season is fun slinger season, good company hard seltzer season. It can be any one of those seasons. If you just go to the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com, tell it what you're looking for. It'll tell you where to go next. Or if you want to make it really simple on yourself, come to the DNVR bar on the corner of York and Colfax. We got it all. And if you're headed to Vegas, I've got the HQ for you. Set up shop at Circa Resort and Casino, Vegas's first ever adults-only casino, the world's largest sports book. The casino's pretty big, too. Stadium swim is pretty dope. I like to play some bets, hang out by the pool, watch my bets unfold on a massive screen. And of course, I know I'm staying at a really cushy resort with over 500 rooms, including a variety of layouts to fit my needs. Download the app at circusports.com. Circus Sports bets can only be made while physically located in the state of Colorado. Must be 21 or older. All rights reserved. Circus Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgambling.colorado.org.
All right, let's get back into this. Jokic tonight, 16 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. The weirdest play of the night in the fourth quarter when he got the ball on the block and then passed it, almost just passed it right to PJ Washington. That was the weirdest decision.
Yeah, that was
like,
bizarre.
That's one of those ones that like makes me sit and pause for a second. Like, I have to go back and watch. I don't know what it was with Jokic, but I just, and again, I told you, actually, you predicted Jokic to eat tonight. I would consider this not eating.
He did not eat.
And one of the reasons I was skeptical about that was I actually think he can murder these fools, and I think there's a reason to go into a game like this and be like passive. I just thought he was passive in very specific moments tonight.
Too,
like, yeah, and then he missed.
Yeah, I really feel like early in the game when he got fouled and didn't get it, that became the entirety of the game. That's all he was focused on is, I was wronged and I need to make this right. So he started taking wild shots just to get fouled. And I'm not going to lie, some of them were fouls. But some of it was like they were baiting him into, this is the game that you're going to play. And that's been, you know, something that's been discussed for the last couple of weeks is the referees have been sucking their whistle. They've not been, you know, making those calls that they were making last year and the year before that and stuff. So I feel like he tried to play a cat and mouse game with the refs, and then it became like his identity for the game. I feel like he scored when he got aggressive or he wanted to go under, but it was like too late in the game, and then the momentum already came out of it. This was a wild game from Jokic. Didn't get the rebounds that he typically gets, missed shots early, like kind of like forced him to not make those same type of passes. I think that the fouls really just like determined the game, and then from there it was like, that's all I'm focused on, and I didn't like how he responded with that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's tough. I'm distracted. Like, this is
what are you distracted by?
Well, for the selection Sunday. Oh, both the Buffs and the Rams got in. The Rams got in as a play-in.
No way!
As a 10, the same as the Buffs.
They're both playing on Tuesday?
Yeah.
So it's not even a real seed?
No.
It's to get the 10.
Dude, a week ago, both of those teams looked like they were sitting pretty.
Are you serious,
yeah.
man?
Yeah, both of them.
Telling you, people don't know, our Serbian friends, they don't know that. I feel like this is a slight, they're not even in the same division. They're not in the same conference. This is not like two teams from the same conference get put into that. Just two Colorado teams?
Yeah.
That's some bullshit,
that's
man.
That's why I'm distracted. I'm like, I'm trying to digest all of this.
That is such bullshit. That's tough. What a bummer. All right, well, that was a good. That was actually good.
Yeah.
Come back to us.
Okay,
tonight just felt a little passive. You're right that he missed some shots. But
yeah, you're right.
Dev thought he was too bothered by the officiating.
He definitely was. He definitely was early on. He didn't ever quite find his footing. He kind of like was off balance the entire game. He was missing shots. It just wasn't a good game by him. I would hypothesize that he and Luka got together last night, except for Luka had a great game, so apparently only Jokic was affected by it. I mean, I think that there's something to the notion that it's hard to get your circadian rhythms in working for a day game when you're used to playing in the evening. It's just whatever it was that the Nuggets were truly out of rhythm during the rhythm week, so rhythm stretch.
This was off rhythm, though.
This was off rhythm.
This was off rhythm.
Everything was anomalous about this game. So you just, to me, I have no true takeaways other than, man, like, damn, that sucked.
Yeah. Let's go to your guy, Michael Porter. I will say this. Murray Yoke, sometimes their energy, focus, whatever can wax and wane. I do feel like this is one thing Mike deserves. He's inconsistent in outcome. Sometimes he makes, sometimes he misses. I feel like he's locked in tonight. His Porter quarter early, he only finishes with 20. I think he had 12 in the first quarter. But his Porter quarter early, their shots, 4 of 9 again from 3 tonight. They're shots that we haven't seen him taking lately, and he's making all of them now.
That's it. This, when the dust settles, this feels like a weird example, but let's just look at the first quarter. Maybe the most confident Porter's looked all season, and he's looked confident coming out of the break for a while now. But that one where he stopped, realized he was stuck, he was contested, and he just shot it anyway from the right wing, and it was cash. We haven't seen that from Porter for a while, and this was nearly the blueprint for a Sunday matinee game. Nuggets are playing weird. Jokic and Murray aren't in it. You get a Porter quarter to keep you attached through halftime. And then typically, Murray and Jokic figure it out at some point. And they kind of did in clutch time. To be honest, I think this, like, I know he ended up fading to the back, but this was almost a perfect first half for Mike to keep them in it. And then they take over and deliver the win. Obviously, the second part didn't happen. I didn't love his rebounding in the first half, but he did finish with 7, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. His energy was there. He's a real bright spot in the loss and has been a bright spot since the All-Star break.
Yeah, this is a game that I feel like it's difficult to like find that balance. And I think that this is the one piece that Denver is missing. And I mean, I know that Denver plays like the beautiful game and the extra passes and whatnot, and that's what separates them from the rest of the NBA. But those other teams, when a guy has it, they feed that man. They ride the hot hand, and I feel like Denver goes away from that more than other teams because they have two players that are so much better than the others. Michael Porter Jr. had a Porter quarter. He had a very, very good first half, and then he faded. And it wasn't because of like his own decisions. It just kind of did not find him anymore. It was not part of the offense to get him going. They didn't let him touch it as much to get those shots going. And that's where he has to get better, but Denver has to get better of like, hey, he has it this night. Let's make sure to feed him and also get other people involved. So I really do think that Denver is looking for that balance. But on a game where Michael Porter Jr. has it going like this, there's these mismatches, other people are not scoring, why not go back to the well? Go right back to the guy that has it going. So I really do hope that Denver finds that balance here shortly, especially with there being with 13 more games in the regular season, because they're going to be really good when they can feed the hot man but also play their game. And that's been his MO, is like, I'm going to fade and let you guys take over now. I did whatever I had to do. But why not have those 40-point games? Why not have a 50-point game every now and then?
But he, like, I don't know. It's something weird about Mike, too. Like, he got the ball. He had open shots. He just couldn't. Something about him, too. Like, it's
the third. Was it the third quarter?
He was over in the third.
Yeah, the third quarter. Yeah.
And it's like,
the Nuggets were, though. It was like contagious.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't know what you do in that situation. It's like, all right, shoot, Mike didn't have it. Like, okay, let's try to get Jamal. But yeah, the third quarter was weird. But I, you know, I But I mean, he was great in the first half. I guess there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and there's a lot of different ways to figure out, like, how much of this is Mike? How much of this is the Nuggets? How much, like, is he hot but has a hard time maintaining it? Is it like because it seems like this is the story with him always. He's like red hot and then disappears. And they're just simply not giving him the ball?
Tonight, I think he just missed him. They got it to him. Yeah. Weird.
So I don't know. It's a weird thing. But I mean,
but everybody missed him though.
Exactly.
It wasn't like, we got to go to the guy who's making him now in the third. There was nobody making him. It was a little rough. I will say, man. The Nuggets given this loss to Malone on St. Patty's Day feels personal.
I agree.
Him getting so furious, like he was so pissed at the ref during that flagrant. I almost thought he was going to get kicked out during St. Patty's Day, which would have been its own like sitcom moment.
Something usually I do. Just kicked out of bars on St.
But also, Patty. I mean, that's a bit telling. They really want these wins right now. Like, they truly do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's going to say, and you're supposed to as a coach, you're going to say you don't care about that one seed or you don't care about. But also, like, there's a blend of I think that he really wanted that, but also, like, building the right habits. And that is not the right habits of, first off, he felt like his team, again, was wrong. Like, there was fouls and stuff, but also his team wasn't playing well.
Right.
They showed how animated he was. He was pissed off about how much rebounds, you know, Dallas got. People not making right decisions. Defensive, like breakdowns. He really wants these wins, and you love that from your coach. But also, I think that that's a lot of expectation as well. So just trying to find the balance. I really think right now is about finding the balance.
I think you're right about that. Because, again, the Nuggets have played 13 games post-All-Star. One, they lost in overtime. And then another one they lose right at the buzzer.
This is
so they're
basically
right,
like losing in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, this was in some. Yeah, so it's just razor thin margins for Denver in their losses, and it's kind of bound to happen. You're bound to have your ups and downs. Tonight was definitely that off rhythm one. I want to go to the bench though.
Yeah,
this game went more or less how we talked about. Our pregame was on point today, so we talked about how Dallas has a really strong bench because their staggered lineups feature Luka. So Denver's bench tonight against Luka, they got murdered. But Christian Brown continues to play better and better. 10 points from him, 4 of 5 shooting. He had that step back three. He had a couple tough finishes. I think they're still encouraging things off of that bench, even if the numbers tonight weren't great.
Yeah, as a whole, it was definitely a step back from a unit that's been pretty good since the All-Star break, all things considered. But you're dead on. I think Christian Brown continues to play with confidence, especially offensively. He put it behind his back and everyone cleared out. I was like, hang on, what's happening? He did draw a foul on that play. Would have been an awesome night for Brown to, you know, like, only one rebound in a night when rebounding was a problem for Denver. When he's a guy who can win some, feels tough. But again, it's not like I have any particular rebounds I wish he went and got. It just one's a little low for a total. But offensively, he looked confident right now. He's the bright spot off the bench again, and his stock is high. I mean, I think he's right now, to me, clearly the sixth guy as they approach the playoffs.
I think this was the one game, honestly, that I'm not looking at the stats of saying how the bench played in this game. I think the bench played well. Right. I think they played really well in this game. Zeke Nagy gave you great minutes. Christian Brown had a really good game. I think defensively, Peyton Watson played pretty well. You want to make some more shots from Reggie Jackson, of course, but I think that they looked like a good unit. The problem with this game, and also what I hope Denver changes, stop letting these superstars go against your second unit and then getting the momentum for the entirety of the game. Lucas should not been going against the entire, you know, bench unit.
That's where he got going.
That's when he got but also that's been their thing.
Yeah.
Denver allows these players. It doesn't matter who the SGA gets going against them. Like,
right.
They just, like, let that stagger happen, and Denver's like, okay, we're going to let that happen. No. match Aaron Gordon or your best defender on the other guy so that you're not getting hammered. Like, I think that this was a good bench unit that looked bad because Luka was way better than them. Duh, he's better than them. So I think that this was a good game that the bench unit was punished in because they let him, like, Luka go off more.
You have any thoughts about Christian in particular, or maybe even Peyton?
This is a tough assignment. They both had a pretty tough assignment. I agree with you that Christian Brown is, like, just back. He's back. Peyton Watson was not, like...
He was normal.
He was just kind of, like, there. He didn't... Yeah, he missed a couple middies, which was upsetting.
He took a bad middie, too.
He did take a bad one. But... I know. It's funny because we say, you know, that Luka gets the benefit of going up against the bench unit, but so does Jamal every night. Like, he goes up against the bench unit every night. He, like, rarely takes advantage like Luka did.
Luka lights up. Like, Luka loves his rhythm. He loves the way – because LeBron has the same one, and he does the same thing. He comes in to start the game. He's in second gear. And then when he checks out, then checks back in against the bench, and he's like, sixth gear, let's go.
Yeah, but that's my question to y'all. Do you think Denver should try to match that a little bit more? Like, on those super – there's not many superstars in the league. Luka's a top three player in the world. I think you should change something against them. I understand you trying to find your footing, your rhythm of, like, this is what we are. But, like, really, that's where these games are lost against these superstars, because they allow LeBron, Luka, Steph Curry, the players that are way different than everyone else, get that momentum, because it's not against KCP. It's not against Aaron Gordon. Do you change that?
I don't. And the reason is, we saw this in the Lakers series. It followed the exact same script for a whole series, and that's playoffs, where you kind of, like, know you're going to suffer a little in those minutes, but you always made it up on both sides of that stint. Yeah. And I think Denver just feels confident. Now, I will say the difference is, in the playoffs, Zeke Nagy, Justin Holiday are in the rotation in the regular season. In the playoffs, it's going to be Aaron Gordon, KCP. You know, it's going to be more starters. So I don't think, to the thing you were raising earlier, I don't think Murray is that type of player. It's not he's that he's not good, but he's not... He can't get, like, the twinkle toes that a Luka can and just take over. Yeah. So you don't quite have the same thing. But I do think you'll have more of that in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mine's is more so defensively, because, like, that's what separates them in the playoffs.
But shouldn't really Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, that's good defensive players you're bringing in.
You're going against Luka.
You just think it's AD.
Those guys. I'm just saying, I just feel like there should be a better matchup. Because in the playoffs, they're not – I feel like they want to win so badly that they are going to do that. You're not getting those same type of minutes, so you're going to win. But also, if you really want this win as badly, I think that you should do it early. Also, if you're getting ready for the playoffs and this is a playoff look, why not give it a look right now to see what it is that you have? I mean, I might be overthinking that right now, but I just feel like that's something that I've been seeing all year long, where these superstars get to just go crazy against the backup unit. And Denver doesn't match that on the other end, because I feel like Jokic doesn't just get to just go destroy the second unit. Like, teams are like, no, we're not going to let him go crazy. Yeah. And Jamal doesn't have it sometimes to do that.
Yeah, but then, you know, the other side of it is that Denver starters just absolutely crushed more often than not. I mean, in the regular season, I kind of like the approach of, like, we're Denver, we're the defending champs, we do our thing, and if we do everything, like rebound, we're winning this game. You can tank with your rotation, we won't. I think in the playoffs it's different, but also the rotation shrinks. The whole Denver's whole second unit looks different anyway, more starter heavy. So it does feel that way, but to me the flip side of it is, if you hang on in those minutes, if it's a tie game or close to it when Jokic comes back in, now it's your time to go on a run. So I didn't necessarily mind the rotation. I just, again, man, there were 100 controllable factors here in a 2-point loss.
There really were a lot of controllable factors. Another one, Zeke Nagy, we want to talk about him on the other side, because he's so tough. We have to always put him under a microscope. But tonight, 9 minutes, just one rebound. And Michael Malone was bright, beat red at that point where they gave up like 6 offensive rebounds in a row. I want to talk about that on the other side.
Alrighty, gang. It's time to talk about Empire, the Kings, the Emperors, you could say, of flooring. We're actually sitting on a neat little Empire floor right now. You can't see it, so it's not much of a Not much of a plug, but it's a much better studio
floor. We're not like flying off, right? Like, we're connected to it.
To the ground.
It works.
It's hard to scratch. It looks good. And they got it done, quickly, because they're the best place to get new flooring. Can't beat them on quality, service, and speed. There's a lot of options out there. They're trying to pare it down, make it nice and simple for you. Just find what you need. And their virtual floor designer is a great way to check out new floors, how they'll look in any space, without committing to them. And when you do decide to commit, go ahead and call Empire, where you can get a free in-home estimate today. And all listeners can also receive $350 off when they use promo code DNVR. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details. I don't know about you fellas, but I got my Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. This thing just keeps getting more. It's like a transformer.
I noticed you didn't shave your face So
that's not what it's for.
I hope you guys don't have 5.0s now, because I'm still on the 2.0.
And it's there's one over there for you.
For me?
Yes.
Why wouldn't y'all say that? I've been aerodynamic lately. Like, I've been moving a little bit better. I thought it was my knees, like in like cryotherapy and stuff.
No, I think it's like, bad.
Also, if I have gifts, I need to just say, damn, there's a gift here for you. Because I'm ready for a 5.0.
We've been forgetting it's over there. They got all the different little like sizes on. You can give a fade if you don't want.
I need a fade.
You can do the Caesar.
I'm gonna line myself up.
You can give the little line.
There's a reason we didn't give it to you earlier.
My humble suggestion for the 6.0, put a Bluetooth speaker in it. Why not? That's you've got a lot of time. Anyway, top of the morning to you. This episode is brought to you by the St. Patrick's Day Shamrock Shavers. Talking about our friends at Manscaped. Don't just chase the rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun. I'm not doing this.
Do it. There's a lot more.
Groom your little leprechaun.
You're a little leprechaun.
Manscaped. Say goodbye to your clover forest with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0. Let your confidence shine bright.
Yeah, keep going. There's more.
Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com. Use code NUGGETS20 for 20% off plus free shipping. 100% water. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Nope, there's one more. There's one more line at the end. You got to finish it. Don't forget the line.
This is St. Patrick's Day. Make sure your hairy little leprechaun is luckier than ever at Manscaped. Your balls will thank you, and so will your little leprechaun. What's a leprechaun?
Bro, you did it.
I just feel like this is fitting. I'm so glad you got to do that.
I just feel like they put the word little in there a lot, but that's okay. We can move forward.
They did make sure.
The read doesn't have that.
Exclusive. They edited it for you. They're like, who's reading it? Harrison or Vote? They're like, Vote. Okay, little.
The greatest part about this is that from this point forward, with the mustache, Brendan Vogt, known as the hairy little leprechaun.
You should have stayed home.
You should dress up.
Dude, honestly, though, so you know how, like, little kids believe in Santa?
Sure.
So growing up, I didn't ever, like, my folks just didn't do that. So I have it with my kids, and it's been fun. But they also, like, really get into the Tooth Fairy. So, like, the Tooth Fairy, there's a whole ordeal. Yeah. And then last night, and I'm not kidding, and I don't know how, I don't know if it was my wife's idea or what, they made a trail of Lucky Charms throughout the house.
Wow, into the ants?
Into a little green hat with a stick so that he would
get catch him
trapped into this hat.
Oh, man.
And we were acting like that was a thing that people do. They're like, yeah, the leprechaun.
Yeah, we're going to trap the leprechaun.
And I was like, is this a thing?
That's a wild. So, I was in elementary school for a while, like for me personally. I was working in elementary for a little bit. They would do like they would put the feet on the ceiling and the kids would walk in and just go nuts for like
a cave?
For like 3 or 4 days as if he was like running across the ceiling. And they're like bought in on this. You just put like random things around the house. Like, that'd be cool for you.
I mean, it is a weird thing because now my kids are my oldest one's 9. So we're about the age, I think, when they're going to start questioning this. But it's not just Santa. It's like there's like 12 made it throughout the course of the year. Elf on the Shelf. Bro, the little leprechaun.
You're either bought into that side of the world or you're not.
What do you mean?
There's either Santa. Or
there's
not
everything.
If there's Santa, then there's a Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, there's definitely a Tooth Fairy.
They're not just. They're like all what Tooth Fairy? That's ridiculous.
Soon coming up, I'm gonna have to break the news to my kid about like
everything.
No, but don't do it though. Don't do it because you're an asshole. If that's the case,
well, yeah, listen, that's what I'm afraid of.
My mom was an asshole. Like, I was like doing the whole Santa thing, and she's like. Like, we're talking about Christmas and how Santa drops it off on Christmas. And she's like, yeah, Santa drops it off on Christmas, but you have presents 3 weeks beforehand. Did you come already?
And I'm like, I love that. She's making fun of you.
She's like, what are you, an idiot?
Am I the dummy?
What, are you an idiot? Are you an idiot? Come on.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that mom.
I'm just saying. Yeah, you can let your kids know, but don't shame them.
I'm like, man, you're old enough to really understand. This is ridiculous.
Or just do what everybody else does. Let their friends tell them and ruin it that way.
Yeah, do that.
Zeke Nagy tonight, 1 rebound. Peyton Watson, 2 rebounds. Those guys combined for 23 minutes. That would be one of my fears. I mean, again, you put AG out there, it's probably a little bit different. But I would say, what does that combo of players struggle with? I do think there's something to rebounding. And Dallas, again, I'm not worried about Denver, Minnesota coming up. I don't know if they're going to get 21 offensive rebounds. But the spread you out teams, man, like that's where Peyton's going to be battling inside. He's got to grab some of these and... That's like one skill he hasn't proven to me yet.
That's a great point. That's a great point. That's an easy way. You look at this game and you go, all right, look, he was 1-for-4, didn't have a lot going on, was looking for ways to make an impact. Just go grab 9 boards. Foul someone if you have to, right? Like, remember Porter in the early days when he was struggling and the shot wasn't falling? He just, I'm just going to crash the boards like an insane man. And I thought maybe more of that was needed from Watson and Brown tonight. But you're right that as you stretch that out, that's the one thing that group doesn't do super well. Does that look better in a stagger with Gordon out there instead of Zeke? Maybe Porter out there instead of Holiday, depending on what it looks like? Maybe. But it was one way that which Christian and Peyton both, I thought, could have made a better impact tonight. And it's not their bread and butter. And it is what you sacrifice when you put Zeke out there, who works hard, draws fouls, does some stuff well, but he's just not pulling rebounds down with 2 hands.
Yeah, I think that there was a lot asked of Zeke in this matchup because you're going against Luka. There was a bunch of, we're about to set a screen and we're gonna see how good his defense really
is. He did good though.
He did do good, but that also takes you away from grabbing boards.
Yep.
So like you have to ask which one you want. You're going against Luka, top 3 guy in the world in ISO, and you're holding your own. You can't grab boards as well. So like other people could have stepped in on that. But then on the flip side, you're like, hey, no one rebounded well for the Nuggets. So if no one rebounded well, like you're like, hey, does the second unit do it? Who steps up in that second unit? I don't think that it was a Zeke Nagy, type of game where he was supposed to do that. So I'm typically low on Zeke Nagy and like the effort there. I think that he tried really hard in this game and the stats don't tell like what happened. I think this is an all right Zeke Nagy game. I just wish there was more rebounds to like show that he gave effort.
Right.
You want a crazy stat that might not mean anything, D-Line? The Nuggets are 10-0 when Peyton Watson grabs at least 5 rebounds.
How often does that happen? Like what? They're like 2-0.
10-0.
Oh, 10-0. That's insane.
Again, that's probably a little bit of noise, but I do think there's something too. If you're getting rebounds, it usually means you're getting stops. Those are defensive rebounds, and if the bench is getting stops, that means you probably won. I think that's the correlation.
There is a correlation, but they were getting stops. They just were getting no rebounds. Well, man, that was so frustrating. I mean, it's a stop. They didn't get the
That's the point.
They've got what should have been stops.
Yeah,
they had rebounding options and opportunities. They just couldn't get them. It was so, dude. It's so weird. Sometimes the Nuggets are just dominate the boards, and then other nights they get dominated. It's like, I suppose it's an effort thing. I suppose it's a boxing out thing. It's a focus thing. But it was wild, dude. They were just getting dominated.
Yeah, I mean. The two things that I just give Dallas the most credit on. First, hell of a shot by Kyrie Irving.
Hell of a shot, man.
But also, their effort on boards was insane. It was 2 bodies on Jokic the entire time. Everybody, like, bought in to, we're going to try to keep him off of the boards because no one else is trying to rebound or go against that. So, like, they went all in on the bit of, we're going to take him off and see if anybody else can out-rebound us, and they did it. So, like, that was, like, a full effort type of game from them that they just kind of wanted it more.
Yeah. I definitely feel like Denver's effort was a little low here. For more statistical fun, the Nuggets are 4-1 when Peyton Watson grabs 0 rebounds.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool. So I think we've gotten to the bottom of this.
So it's only in the
probably
middle
not about
between 1 and 4 rebounds. That's where Denver struggles.
That's where he's got to...
Don't get that rebound. Oh, no. Now he has to get 4 more.
But really what it shows is if he gets 5 or more, that means that it's a blowout. And the other one is like he's probably not playing that much, and the bench plays really good.
Yeah, that's actually what it is. No, I actually think it's a meaningful stat, though. It's Peyton Watson is a wing. He is a small forward. He has more responsibilities than most players because it spans the spectrum. You got to be out and guard the perimeter, limit threes, contain the ball, also play inside, rebound. You got to do all that stuff. Tonight they needed his big man. He needed to channel his inner big man, and he didn't necessarily have it. Zeke Nagy, you know, we talked about him as well. Is there anybody else that you think deserves a special mention from this one? KCP, I thought, had timely buckets. He only had 10 points, but they all came right on time.
We haven't seen some of those shots in those moments from KCP in quite some time. That actually, I'm glad you brought that up because I might have taken that and run with it had they come back. Those were some confident, good-looking shots from Pope, who... You know, sometimes we talk about him like he's just a defensive specialist, but he's not supposed to be. He is a good 3-point shooter, especially when he has his legs underneath him. So those were some timely, but he almost saved the day, to be honest, in the fourth. It would have been fun to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, timely baskets. But what I really loved is there was a few times that KCP got switched onto a big and held his own.
Yeah.
He got two blocks in this game, and those were against the centers. Like, that was not like a guard trying to get around him. I do feel like early on in the game he was quiet, and then he was loud in the second half where he was like, hey, no one else has it. Let me try to step out and do a bit more. So I really did like that aspect of KCP. Like, hey, I'm going to just battle. I'm going to play hard, and I'm going to just try to do something to make my team win. And I felt like that was this type of game.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other big takeaways or thoughts or notes from this game?
Wasn't the best Aaron Gordon game. The stats are actually
pretty
flattering.
Good. Yeah.
And we can remember some sweet moments from the dunker spot, and he was very good sort of drawing attention and moving at the right times. Bit of a breakdown on that last three by Luka. It felt like, feels like you can ask more of Aaron Gordon there. Wasn't his best game defensively altogether. And then I don't know if this is when all the dust settles. Sometimes some of these things just feel louder than they were. But that Aaron Gordon three, when the Nuggets had cut it to four, like in the third.
When he pulled it up, you're saying? When he took the three? When you're
when
like.
He just pulled
man,
up.
Man, he does that every game. It's like up. He's feeling other people's momentum.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Like, oh, MPJ's on fire. I should pull
him. Oh, he's just like a life heat check.
And well, watch this.
Right. And ultimately, we're all they come on back fire, and, aren't we? And take the lead. But in that moment, it just felt like, dude, not that one. Not you, not yeah. that moment. But I'm nitpicking a little bit. But it, like, his stats are fine. But I just thought there were a couple of moments where Gordon's usually better.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Kale, can we bring up the standings right now? You can go to ESPN. Because this is the real story. Is Denver now is a game behind the Thunder with 14 to go. They don't have the tiebreaker, so you really can say they're two games behind Oklahoma City for effect. If they go 11-3 down the stretch, OKC, I think OKC is going to go 9-5. And I think if they need to, they might be able to go 10-4. But to me, Eric, we were debating this before the game, but now that it's a loss,
I mean, that hurts. I can't be convinced that the Nuggets won't be the one seed until they themselves show me that that's the case. This feels like the one seed. I don't know. It just feels like they're...
You still feel good about it.
Never tell me the odds. You understand? Never tell me the odds.
Well, I mean, at 13 games and they've lost by one, you know, camel's hair.
Twice, that's yes. That's it. Good.
For two games.
Glad you replaced the word camel. That's good.
Yeah.
I think that it is entirely likely that they will be the two seed, but don't tell my heart. My heart believes the one seed. This is a one seed to me until proven otherwise, which probably will happen.
I think we're in a great spot as Nuggets watchers because
the top Nuggets watchers.
If the Nuggets are not the one seed, they still have to win as many games as possible to stay at the two seed.
Not to be the three.
You don't want to be the three at all because really still if the Thunder were to lose in the first round, then that makes them the top seed. They still get home court after that. So you would still get that advantage. If you go down to three, that changes things. That like makes it so that maybe you don't have that or like when it matters, you don't. So Denver's in a, like, we still have to press type of spot where they have to be very aggressive and try to get those wins. So they could still be trying to go after that one seed and hope that the Thunder in the same spot of, do we go all out and try to get that one seed or do we try to settle?
Yeah, I'm with you. Two seed if the Thunder is the one is fine with me, to be honest. It's not optimal. I'd love to see them go get it. I mean, I want them to win every game, fellas. And I'd love for them to have, but you're not going to have the one seed if it's Boston in the finals. I mean, you're not going to have home court, rather. And I don't think you need it against OKC. Staying above Minnesota, to me, is really what's super important. Again, that could be overcome as well, but to me, that one just matters more. And you have those three games, so that's still well within your control. Getting the one seed would be ideal, but it's not the worst thing to me, especially if it's the Thunder. So it's not the worst, but if you wanted the one seed, this is a bit of a gut punch, I think.
It is nice. So you're out of reach from Boston. Boston is up six games. You're not going to catch them for the number one overall. Oklahoma City, I think Denver's going to keep chasing them. Let the cards fall where they may. If it's right neck and neck with 5 minutes to go, I just think both teams are all gas, no brakes to sprint. That's great. Denver-Minnesota, currently a half game separates them because Denver's played one more game, so they have a half game lead. They play three more times in the next 3 weeks, starting with on Tuesday, and I just feel like those games are going to be really intense. Because Denver, I do think they might get to a point where they no longer are interested in chasing the Thunder, even if it's like two games behind with eight to go. It might be like, we're not wanting to wear ourselves out, but we have to keep Minnesota down. And with three games, you can do that. You can take Minnesota out.
Totally.
And the Bucks are three games back. So when you start to look at that, okay, Oklahoma, Boston, those are the only two teams with better records, and you might not even play either of them.
Yep.
And I think they feel safe. But that means this next game against Minnesota, it just feels like it's going to mean a lot to the Nuggets. It's going to mean a lot to Minnesota as well.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I love it.
I do too. This is great because we didn't get this last year. Last year, It was just like there was no jockeying for position. We've gotten this every year up until last year.
True.
And it's fun. It's fun to sort of look ahead and actually start to see how it's going to play out. You know, obviously the Nuggets are going to be the one seed, as my heart says. Never always listen to my heart. It's fine. But Minnesota, I have only seen Minnesota once this year. It was with Karl Anthony Towns, and they smacked us right at the beginning of the season. I'm very interested to see how they match up. I suspect that the Nuggets will not have that much trouble with them since they don't have the Twin Towers. It all comes down to Jokic, obviously, but he'll have a lot easier go of it. But I don't know. No, one seed Nuggets, let's go. Make it a hashtag.
The other thing about 1-2, if you're not particularly worried about the team ahead of you, is it's the play-in format now, so you also don't even necessarily know
who you're playing. Yeah,
like, it's not as clear cut as 1-8. That's ideal. So I don't know. It's as long as you take care of these Minnesota games, I think you're in great shape.
What do you expect, Dev?
I expect them to just stay aggressive. Like, I really do think that that's the push. Is you don't want to be three, and also there's an opportunity that they can fall. So I think that Denver looks at that as, we dropped one, but we're still going to be more aggressive now. I think they're going to try to go after that one seed in the hopes of, if it's not one, it's two. You can't drop both. And also, you play Minnesota a few times. So, like, that helps.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some super chats. I know we have some super chats tonight.
A great one that just came in.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
You know, both post All-Star break losses go on Jokic playing like he's drunk / could give a shit.
Yeah.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Pathetic stuff from 15.
I mean, yeah. I'm a little heavy-handed
on
there, you know.
But pathetic, but I get it. It wasn't on his night.
I would say apathetic stuff from number 15.
That was well, good spin there.
Thanks, bro.
Astray, not to be confused with astray. Getting real tired of some of these games where Jokic isn't asserting himself.
People are mad at Jok.
Damn. Even with a bad game. Main issue, though, is them not being dominant for most of these games. Desperately need a win now.
You know, Nurkic, Doncic, he's so easy on his buddy.
You know what he is? He's a diplomat.
He's such a diplomat, man.
I know.
Yeah. Joe Clem 15, glass half full, like the Suns game. These losses are a net positive. Championship habits can't be established if we win games we don't deserve.
That's true. I'm also not worried about it.
Josh Roberts, championship habits. You have to pull out a game you don't deserve in the playoffs at some point.
That's true.
Josh Roberts paying the sponsor. Red Hawk Roofing, big takeaway. Who cares, says Josh. That's his big takeaway. Who cares? Nuggets sure they could win this if it was a game that mattered. All the Nuggets are coasting.
You're right about this, Josh. Me and you, we see things others aren't able to.
Nadine Marcus, do you think the rest were fair to Jokic?
In what way?
No, but I also think I've seen Jokic handle that better.
Here, I have a conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
Kale, I have a conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
I think Jok hates Natalie Sago.
Whoa!
It's been multiple games that she has officiated where Jok is, like, losing his shit. So I think that's my conspiracy theory.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's Natalie not much of a conspiracy. So. I thought you were going to talk us to us about what aliens? Temperature iron melts at. Yeah, or alien tattoos.
I'm just trying to say.
Next one, Flo.
It's a lot of
questions. We Euros get to watch live the worst games. sorry, brother. That's
dude,
a tough break.
You know what? Why? The matinee, I'm telling you. The Euros, no.
What else do we got? Astray again. All right, my overreaction's over now. Nuggets lost just let's because of a miracle shot. We move regardless. Just for the love of God, Denver. Win and dominate in Minnesota, or I'm actually going to lose my mind.
It'll be a tough one.
Guys, they have won 10 of 12. I don't.
Yeah, they're also like the reigning champs.
11 of 13, I think.
11 of 13, thank you. Thanks, Adam.
I mean, they have lost 1-10 of 12 as well.
And they both of those games that they lost, they essentially lost in overtime. They were tied with one. With 3 seconds left in both.
But you know what? Winning is fun and losing sucks. So
you know what? That's a great point. Winning is fun. Losing sucks.
Dude, sucks.
Did you? So wise vote.
JDW. Worried about the bench's ability to rebound. P-Watt is rough on the boards tonight. As a four, even with AG at the five instead of Zeke.
They weren't good today.
It is a point. AG maybe helps them a lot. You're going to have to get Murray rebounding. It's definitely a weak point. It's definitely a weak point.
Cedric Exquisite. Hashtag BB guys dev, you crazy ass motherfucker, but we love you. Eric, salute.
I'm not even that crazy.
Dude, you're so crazy.
I'm pretty tamed.
Dev, you're so wacky, dude.
Tamed, man.
Dude, Dev is so wacky,
I'm
man.
A fucking badass.
The goofiest one, bro. And we're going to wrap
that
things
one
up.
Name of like, my girl, she's so wild. And she has
just a lettuce on her
so
head.
Crazy.
She's so
her.
Crazy.
If you ask
a girl, like,
Dev, you're so wacky, dude.
Ask a girl if she's funny, she's just going to make a stupid face. That's a girl. I'm so silly. All I do is make a face.
Oh my God, you're so random.
You're so random.
You know, we're going to end on a good note from you know. Funny enough, the only shot that Jokic contested all night was the game winner by Kyrie.
Should have just let him go.
Oh, man.
Dude, Kyrie. Here's the thing about Kyrie. I know everybody hates him. I kind of love him. Separate the art from the artist, Furby, all these things. I love him because that dude truly... D didn't need to go left there. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of these guys that's like, you know what?
He's like, be sick, though.
You know what? This would be incredible. He makes everything so hard, and he's so good at it.
Yeah, that was like, man, if this goes in. Because even if he missed it, it was like, but that was so cool.
That was so cool,
it was
man.
So cool. But then it went in. It's like, I knew it. Like, he gets to have a cool story.
Dude, that was such a good shot. He is so fun to watch. And so honestly, skilled. Like, I mean, truthfully, you just feel like he can do everything, and then you also feel like he's going to miss all of his shots, too. You just don't know which is going to happen. But
how does he not score 40 every night?
I don't know, man.
Do you guys know the, like, cover band guitarist that does too much? That's kind of him. Like, he's an incredible guitarist, and every now and then he starts soloing
like,
over
no,
the...
No, Kyrie, not now.
Yeah, they're not now. He's like, I don't know, man. I'm feeling it over
I'm
here.
Shredding.
Just shredding. You're like, that is difficult. That sounds terrible, though. Do we have another one coming at the buzzer?
And icy hot these knees.
Hell yeah.
Bench needs more beef. Kyrie also stepped out.
Yeah. Hold on, real
wait,
fast.
Wait, he did?
Yeah, that everybody keeps saying he stepped out.
The we didn't even lose.
Did we
can
really,
we protest?
Did we really? Did we spend time on the Jamal, like, last second shot?
No.
No, let's spend. We did it quickly, but we can come back to it.
Yeah, let's just do it.
I want to hear your take on it. You have the ball in your hand at the end of the game.
You take the last shot.
I know.
Because even if you make that, because everybody's like, yeah, that's just a shot he makes. Even if he makes that, they would have gotten a chance to still win it. Like, at the... like
in
with
overtime,
the
yeah.
So
worst
like,
case scenario.
No, like, no, they still get... If he made that, they still would have had 2 points.
Oh,
point
yeah, they could have won
three
it with
or
a three,
whatever.
Yeah,
with a three. And that was what they would have probably drew up. So you take the last shot so you don't even give them that opportunity. They have Kyrie Irving and Luka. You don't want them to take a game winner. So just take the last shot. The timing for sure is off, but also you're supposed to read that a little bit better. Even if he makes it, I feel like that's just too early. It should have been zeros on the clock.
I thought, it appeared that he didn't expect to be as wide open as he was. Like he kind of, where they were doing their action, it was kind of maybe going to be a finale oop, go back to Yoke, but he was like, I'm wide open.
Yeah.
Like, and I got to shoot it right now. And. Whatever.
I think it's harder than where people are giving credit for to have a shot when it's because it wasn't like there was 0.1 second. It's really hard to perfectly time that. Being within 3 seconds is honestly good because to your point, if they jump out at him as he turns the corner, there's not enough time to give it to Yoke if you go 2 seconds later.
Exactly.
Then Yoke picks it up and doesn't have time to shoot it.
That's so, what it, that, to me, it just looked like a play that was developing, and he was like, oh, my God, it's wide open.
It started it too early, the whole thing.
Yeah, this is almost, you know what it is, actually? Here's what it is. And who are we to question the Yoke Murray two-man game, right?
We're it's the coming, DMVR Nuggets.
Yeah, it's coming handy a lot. It's, they know what they're doing. In that moment, in a very, very, very rare moment when the clock and shot clock and game clock are the same, you probably just want the ball in Jokic's hands early. Let him decide, because he's the one that can effectively ISO in that moment. And if they send the double, make the pass, as opposed to you need the action to set it up where the defense can almost dictate when you take the shot. But this is, it probably won't happen again where we'll have a 0.1 second gap. But
and here's the other thing. It's the timing, right? Maybe like that action just doesn't have to start as early, right? But the shot itself, I do not mind at all. Jamal was wide open. It's what, like a 15-footer. He was cooking.
I can't believe he missed it.
That's it. I actually just can't believe he missed it. He was really good in the fourth. So that shot itself doesn't grind my gears, but it's just the seconds left. That was the real sin, I think.
Hit that outro music, Kale. That is St. Patty's Day for us.
I'm going to get blind drunk. Just kidding. I'm going to have soda. I'm going to have a green soda.
All right. What a bummer, man. Nuggets fall at the buzzer. But big game on Tuesday. We'll be getting ready for it. We do have a show tomorrow for you to prep you for that game. We'll get to hear Harrison Notes. He was watching the game, so he'll be back tomorrow sharing his thoughts on this one. Hit that like button for us on the way out.
Let's go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.